Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
1 hour to go. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We have plenty to get to in the show. We've got, in case you missed it, coming up. We got the Browns preview show coming up in 1 hour's time. Overtime with Big Weege, Jake Vulnick, coming up as well. But Browns sitting at 0-2, looking for a win against Green Bay this weekend. Plenty to focus on in the AFC North as well. So we head out to the fan hotline. Welcome in of CBS Sports. She'll be on Texans Jaguars this weekend. She's coming off Cardinals Panthers last weekend. The always great Aditi Kinkabwala of CBS Sports. Aditi, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, it's great to have you. Obviously, we're now officially in the throes of the NFL season, and the Browns are 0-2. Thinking 0-2, thinking of what this season could mean, where would you set the panic meter on a 1-10 basis for the Browns at 0-2?
I'm not panicking yet. It's still so early in the season. We can't overreact to anything. You know, it's funny. I was just actually talking to somebody about this as regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's sort of the same idea. It's still early. Ever since training camps have changed, ever since preseasons have changed, there's still a lot of finding out about teams as the season gets into itself, for lack of a better word. I don't love that. If I'm a Browns fan, I don't love that the Packers, who look so darn good, are the next guys up, but you play who's on the schedule.
Yeah, unfortunately, Aditi, that's just kind of how the cookie crumbled, so to speak, for the Browns. The early parts of the schedule is tough. Would you have the schedule dictate any reason to move off of Joe Flacco to go to Dylan Gabriel, or would you just make that a non-factor for yourself?
No, again, this is way, way, way too early. You can't overreact. The Browns should have won week one. The Browns dominated week one. It is a shame that it came down to two kicks. So that's really too bad. And even though it looks like the Ravens had their way, you talk about taking care of the ball in a certain way, and that game can change too. Of course it doesn't. This is, you know, this isn't woulda, shoulda, coulda. That's not what football is. But sometimes the line between a win and a loss isn't as great as the gap, the chasm, whatever, isn't as great as you think it is. And sometimes it's as simple as getting a defensive touchdown or getting a special teams touchdown or not making a special teams miscue. And so I don't know. I don't think you give up just yet. I like Dylan Gabriel. I don't know that Dylan Gabriel is ready. And I think that if they felt that he really truly was the better option than Joe Flacco today, they would make that decision. They're not sitting here saving Dylan Gabriel for any reason. I do, though, I will admit this. I did text somebody in Cleveland yesterday to say it really is such a shame that they moved Kenny Pickett when they did, for multiple reasons, because of all of the quarterback injuries that you've seen, and perhaps you could have gotten a lot more for him for a team who is desperate for a starter, or because it would give you a little bit of a better option should you want to move on and not stunt Dylan Gabriel's growth or... I don't know. You know what? I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I talk to plenty of coaches who say, if you're ready to play a young guy, just throw him out there. You know, this is the conversation in New York. What are you saving with Jackson Dart? If Jackson Dart really is that much better, just go and get him that experience.
Do you equate to going to Dylan Gabriel as giving up, or is there like a record? Like what's the kind of convex of those two points, playing the young quarterback versus where you are and how competitive you are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really is about his readiness. I don't think it has anything to do with giving up on the season. You can't give up on a season 2 weeks in. Come on, guy. Are you really, like, are you really sitting here saying I've given up on the season?
I mean, it's hard to find encouragement right now, Aditi. The fan base has definitely turned, and they've turned on Stefanski in the past 24, 48 hours, too, just so you know.
The way that the defense played Joe Burrow and the Bengals week one, that did nothing for you?
Yeah, they lost.
Sure, because the kicker couldn't make two kicks.
And the catch and the receivers couldn't make their receivers.
I should not say that. You know what? I'm the person that always says it never comes down to one play. It never comes down to one guy. I need to take that back. I apologize.
We accept your apology on behalf of Andre
Schmidt. Would you feel differently had those kicks been made and the Browns win that game?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel differently if I was also 225 pounds and good looking.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost eight straight now, Aditi. Like, it's a lot for people.
I think that if Dylan Gabriel were the singular answer to turn the tide, then the Browns would make that decision. And I think it's a lot to put on a young quarterback to think that he alone, and this is not a first-round pick, this is a third-round pick, that he alone is suddenly going to change the fortunes of this club.
With the Browns obviously facing Micah Parsons and the Packers, do you think Miles wishes he would have played his request the same way that Micah did?
I have no idea. I can't speak to that. I don't. Miles made his decision. Miles was paid by the team that drafted him, and I have no idea if he looks at anything with second thoughts. That's not fair for me to speculate what's in his head.
Aditi Kinkabwala of CBS Sports on the Fan Hotline here with Nick and Jonathan. As we are on Wednesday, that means we officially start to turn the page towards week three. I do want to know, though, because we've had a lot of really fun football early in the season. Is there anything that surprised you across the NFL or stood out to you through the first 2 weeks of the season?
It's so hard. I don't know, because this is the NFL. The NFL is crazy. Unusual things happen all the time, and that's what the magic of it is. I think that's putting me a little bit on the spot. Nick, maybe you should have texted me and said, go think of something that is unusual or crazy. Or, I mean, to be honest, Tom Brady sitting in the coaching box, that was a little bit unexpected,
unusual.
We had the Raiders week one. So, Pete Carroll had said to us week one how amazing it is to have a member of ownership who understands competition and is arguably one of the greatest competitors of all time. So you knew that he was involved. You knew that he was a part of all of this, but not that much of a part of it. So that was interesting for sure. What else has been interesting?
Colts have been interesting. I'm surprised
interesting, but a little bit disappointing that I think that coaches keep putting too much on young quarterbacks. I'll have C.J. Stroud this week. I think that you are putting a little bit too much on C.J. Stroud. I think you're putting a little bit too much on Jaden Daniels even. They have these tremendous rookie seasons, and then it's as if you expect them to, you know, it's like 2nd and 10, and you drop back, and it's a sack, and then, okay, now it's 3rd and 15, and you're dropping them back again. Get guys help. You know, I watched Bryce Young this past weekend. We had the Panthers at the Cardinals, and Bryce Young can make some throws, but he would be much better if he had more help. If the line did a little bit more for him, if his receivers made some more tough catches, you know, like there's, I don't know. I think that that's a little bit disappointing. I think that we're seeing a lot of coordinators who get so excited about the flash, about the motions and the big plays that they don't necessarily remember. Hey, it's about winning a football game. Whatever it takes. And sometimes that's ugly. Sometimes that means you're handing the ball off 30 times, but a win is a win is a win.
On that note, Aditi, the idea that people just give up on quarterbacks a little bit too early, the past 24 hours or so, we've just been revisiting Baker Mayfield after that awesome Monday Night Football win. Do you feel like in that instance, there's obviously more layers to it than just giving up on a quarterback early, but do you think maybe some of that applies for the Browns and how it all went down with Baker as well?
You know, this goes two ways. And I will say this, Baker and I have had this conversation multiple times, and he openly says he doesn't know that he is the same person In fact, he says that he is not the same person had he stayed in Cleveland the whole time. The Browns choosing to have this dalliance with Deshaun Watson, then choosing to go after Deshaun Watson, then sort of unceremoniously telling Baker, yeah, we'd prefer Deshaun Watson, then going to the Panthers where he has to fight for a job, then losing that job to Sam Darnold amidst all this organizational chaos. All of those things humbled Baker, took Baker to a place that he'd not necessarily been before. And then going out to Los Angeles with the Rams and having his love for the game revived and giving him, in what he said to me, is sort of almost a different appreciation for the game. All of that affects who Baker is. And the way that Baker is loved in Tampa and the way that Todd Bowles said to Baker as soon as he got there, you be you. You don't need to worry about how you be. You don't need to soften any of the edges. You do you. We want Baker Mayfield. That's enabled him to blossom in a certain way. And he'll say it and I say it. I don't know that he's the same guy if he's just all these years in Cleveland. So on the one hand, yeah, I hate that they moved on from Baker Mayfield. I hate that they didn't have the willingness to sort of work with Baker to mature a bit, to find a way to trust Baker a little bit more. But on the other hand, who's to say that that would have happened? Well, who knows?
So shouldn't the Browns wear some
doors part of all of this? You know, it's easy to sort of look back in hindsight and say, well, that was a dumb decision. You know, it was really a dumb decision, actually. Maybe they should have drafted Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley that year that they had the number one and the number four pick. Then what would have happened?
No doubt.
But no offense to Baker, but
yeah, shouldn't the Browns wear some responsibility on that? And because I what I want to go on is the idea that you mentioned the UBU line, and I heard Baker over the summer. He was on with Travis Kelce in the New Heights podcast, and he had mentioned how like that's one thing he loved is they went to UBU, and he's like, I don't want to crap on any other teams that I played at, but other teams told me be more of a franchise quarterback, be this, be that. Basically, yeah. Told him to be something that he isn't, and like for that, I would say the Browns owe some responsibility in that back and forth then.
I mean, that, yes, he was not, to his credit, he will not publicly disparage anybody. But he has been very vocal about, in meetings that we've had, in conversations that we've had, about how freeing it is to have the Bucs let him lean into who exactly he is.
Aditi, looking to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a lot of good vibes week one. Then the Seattle game happened. It's two games into the Aaron Rodgers experience. What's the I know you talk to our friends in Yinzertown. I know you live over there. What's the vibe in Pittsburgh heading into the Patriots game this weekend?
Well, I think there's a ton of disappointment in this defense. Look, Mike Tomlin in the preseason said this defense can be historic. And you're saying good vibes week one. How many points did they give up? And you can sit here and you can argue, okay, well, the Steelers have already always had a problem with a running quarterback. Well, then, A, fix that, because you have arguably one of the best running quarterbacks the game has ever seen in your division, who you see twice a year. So don't necessarily use that as an excuse. But the Steelers are getting pushed up front, and that's not Pittsburgh Steelers football. So that's at least not what the Pittsburgh Steelers want Pittsburgh Steelers football to be. So that's a little bit weird. They've also got to be more committed to running the ball. They have to figure out how to run the ball. Aaron Rodgers is a great improvement over a year ago. He can still certainly throw the ball, but you still need to be able to run the ball.
How devastating is this injury for Joe Burrow?
It's a greater statement. I mean, this is 3 of 6 seasons that he's lost. And he's not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
went on CBS HQ and talked about this. This is not about Joe Burrow being fragile or soft or a China doll, but I really do think it is incumbent upon the Bengals to help Joe Burrow protect himself from himself. You need to get him help on the edge. You have to have guys chipping. You can't have him constantly dropping back. You have to do a little bit more with the run game and the play action pass game. You just, 3 out of 6 years of major injury, that's too much. That really is too much.
All right, I do want to ask, you've got Texans, Jaguars this weekend. Both teams have had some ups and downs to start the season. I always love these impossible, nay, diabolical questions. Who do you think could use the win more coming off where they're coming off, the Texans or the Jags?
Oh, God. They both desperately need one. And a game ending in a tie is a loss. A tie is not a tie. A tie is a loss. So the Texans have a lot of talent, and they're expecting to make noise. And with the Colts sitting at 2-0, they certainly can't want to drop another one.
Have you
the
been
Jaguars,
interested?
Well, you yeah. always get a little bit of a grace period when you have a new coach.
Aditi, we got a boogie, but great stuff as always. Right. We appreciate you. Enjoy the call this weekend.
Thanks, Aditi.
Thanks so much. Have a great, thanks for having me.
Aditi Kinkabwala on the fan hotline there. We got to react to what she had to say about your Cleveland Browns and some of the big stories around the NFL. About 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Big game two for the Gardos in this 3-game set with the Tigers. Let's get to it.
The Guardians are in the thick of the playoff race as we speed closer to October.
Angel hits a high fly ball deep left field. Good! A grand slam! And the Guardians have shocked the Astros. Hammer deep left center field. Gone! Gabby Arias with a big 3-run homer. Line drive left center field. Book it! Manzardo walks him off in the 10th.
For the latest on the Guardians' hunt for October, here's Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin.
It really just hits.
She's very good at it.
Yeah.
She's very good at it.
Alyssa does a great job. Mac did a great job. Pete picked the right song. I wanted energy. I wanted something to get the fans jazzed up on. We got everything we wanted. And I will say, coming into this series, I'd been thinking a lot about the pressure going on, and I think this is a day-to-day thing. There's a lot of pressure in the Guardians right now with 12 games to go. I think my favorite thing about this series is, after losing that first game, there's just a little bit more pressure on the Tigers right now, and you can make a case, 5.5 game lead in this division. I mean, it's not, if the Tigers really pooch this one, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that not only could you fall out of the division if you really get a schneid here, fall out of the playoffs altogether.
Well, I mean, think about how disastrous that would be. I remember when the Guardians were 15.5 behind, and disastrous by the idea that it's just a meltdown that we don't see. It'd been since the late 70s since we saw somebody basically just ruin that big of a lead, but the Tigers have been the walking dead. They've been a miserable team for about, I don't know, 60, 70 days or so, and so the Guardians are playing much better baseball.
I don't think there's a lot of pressure on the Guardians right now, like comparatively, because
I don't think the Guardians are playing free and loose, though.
No. I mean, there's this is the old how much pressure is on this guy versus this guy. But the truth is, there's pressure because you're on the outside looking in the playoffs, and it's a stretch run, and you'd like to make the playoffs. But like the Tigers are right to that point where they've been playing bad baseball for so long, and they're. When they're at home, when they hear the hometown stations talk about them, it's not positive, as you pointed out earlier.
No, it's not.
And
they
I kind of feel like
they absolutely hate this team.
Like it's weird because it's like 5.5 games. That's a cushy lead with 12 games to go. But it's about the amount of bad baseball they've played. Yeah, the Guardians might have the best record since was it 4th of July?
Since the All-Star break, best record in all of baseball.
So they might have that.
And they're 14 games above 500 since the 10-game losing streak.
And we're really only like 2 weeks prior to like a horrible stretch of baseball for them. But they've been playing good baseball for long enough now that all of their peaks and valleys, in the end, they kind of just all run together. And it's not one consistent feeling of failure or success. Whereas the Tigers have just kind of had blah. Baseball.
They've been blah, and that's why you have to have all sorts of encouragement if you're going into this stretch of now 5 games remaining against the Tigers, because you are the better baseball team. Like, all this idea that the Tigers are some awesome squad winning the AL Central, it's just not true. They were good for 2 months.
I think we're to the
There's
point.
There's teams that get to the postseason off of 2 months of baseball. That's what they're going to end up being if they finish this off, but it's not a great team.
I think we're to the point where I think the Astros have a little bit more pressure on them than maybe the Guardians do because there's the expectation there. I think the Rangers, there's a lot of pressure there because there's uncertainty about Bochy's future and whether he wants to continue on in that environment.
I mean, they seem just about cooked in general. They had their chance in this Astros series that's played out in the past couple of days. They've shown no sign of life.
Like, it's not that the Guardians don't have any pressure, but I think if anyone has the ability, because nobody expects anything of them. They've been written off because of being 5 games back and then 7 games back and then 2 games back and then 3 games back. They've been written off so many times. And by the way, they're also one of the least talked about teams in baseball because the national media just does not pay attention to them over the last couple of years. I kind of think that you're kind of sitting pretty here with a little less pressure than the other teams who, I mean, hey, when things are good, you just won a game. There's a lot of love for you. It's getting icy cold for a team like Detroit with the way they've played, though.
There was a chance last night that once they went into extras, they could have easily just folded like a cheap suit, and they didn't. And there were so many parts about last night, and I highlighted a couple of them already throughout the day, that I was just very impressed by. The Kwan throw off the first batter in the eighth when Gattis is on the mound, and what should have been an assumed double to hold him at first. The Nolan Jones throw to get out the Tigers Jones. Like, there were so many parts of that game last night that it was an impressive display of want to and trying. And I know it shouldn't come down to that, but ultimately it felt like one team was playing as if it was you remember the one card wild card games, the one game wild card games that used to exist?
Mm-hmm.
It was just winner take all, you had one game. It felt like that last night for the Guardians, while the Tigers felt like they were legitimately playing game 150 on the slate.
216-474-0092. So we are talking about the Guardians. They are red hot. They got a winning streak going here. Who has more pressure on them right now? Is it the Guardians or the Tigers? It's weird because you keep looking at that 5.5-game win streak, but mm-hmm. It's like, man, they just haven't played good baseball. You're at home. I think if this series was maybe in Cleveland, maybe I'd feel differently about this. But it's kind of like the Guardians are kind of in a quiet spot right now until they come back home to finish off the season.
I think for right now, I think there's more on the Guardians because they have to win these games. But I think the next, if a sweep happens, and then we take this thing to the series next week against Detroit, then I think it'll flip. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll all be on the Tigers.
Yeah, and I think it'll be really... I'm so jazzed up for this. I really am. I'm really... It's been such a herky-jerky season. But I've really come out the side of... I'm just kind of proud of where this team has come out. And they're not without their flaws. They've got plenty of them. There are still nights that drive me absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have folded last night, like you mentioned. They could have folded about 4 times over. And I know, like, there's just not a big chance they're going to win the World Series. We can say that. Even if they make the playoffs, they're probably closer to a one-and-done team than anything. I just look at what they've done here, and I've looked at how they've stayed into this. And I have real hope for tonight, get that win, and then we'll see tomorrow. You just don't know with Schubel being injured. You sweep, and it's going to be hard to contain the insane excitement here in Cleveland, especially if the teams in front of you lose the next 2 nights.
Well, and then the weekend series against the Twins should be, that's very gettable. You know what actually would stink the most is if you sweep this series and then just go completely flat against Minnesota. But the cool thing about this Guardians team is they've taken care of the teams that they need to take care of.
Yeah.
Like over the past month, we watched them play a lot of really bad baseball teams, and at no point have they had any sort of struggle with those teams.
216-474-0092, who has more pressure on them, Guardians or Tigers? So I think, in this case, Gavin Williams gets the easier matchup going up against Flaherty, and then Tanner goes against Schubel tomorrow. I think when we come back, it's flipped. I think it's Gavin versus Tarik Skubal. I'd like to point out, whoever pitches better gets to be my ace. I'm giving Tanner Bibee
the
back end.
Okay.
Whomever, and if both of you do it, double aces. Smoking aces. Love that movie, by the way, with our buddy Jeremy Piven.
So wait, so if is it win dependent or is it how they actually pitch?
Yes.
All of it. Okay.
Yeah. I need you to be the better pitcher or close to it. You know what? Bleep that. I need you to win first.
Okay.
And then by winning, you will have pitched well enough to keep in it. At which point, you don't have to be better, but you have to be comparable. You have to be in the same ballpark.
What if we have a Schubel outing where he's still dealing with that injury, and then he looks like how when the Guardians went up against Crochet a few weeks back in Boston, and you just light him up after he'd been automatic?
then you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Give up five runs.
You know, that game, by the way, the Guardians-Red Sox game where we just lit up Crochet, likely cost Crochet the Cy Young this year.
Yeah, hate it.
Scooble's going to win back-to-back. It's going to win back-to-back awards, and I think he's all but assuredly knocked it down. But if Crochet hadn't had that big, what was it, seven runs in total? If he hadn't had that big outing where he just melted down against the Guardians, it would have been so neck and neck.
Can I tell you how much that annoys me, though? Not that you're making the point, but that is a real factoid of like, oh, well, Scooble's just head and shoulders above. It's like, he had one bad start.
Well, it's not head and shoulders above. Like, it's pretty close, but that's the point is that Guardians game that Crochet got rocked is ultimately going to weigh it in favor of Scooble.
You are correct. And I think the idea that's the outcome, if somebody's thinking back, I want to give it to Crochet, but that Guardians game, don't love that. But then again, you know, awards voters really cheese me off. 216-474-0092 has more pressure on them. Guardians or the Tigers? Let's get that win tonight, and we'll keep having this conversation. In case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.